are live and in color. Oh my gosh, here we go. Oh my gosh, what is up? What is up? Are you serious? This is, I'm telling you, when I know that I am in the right place at the right time, something always seems to try and prevent me from completing my assignment. And today is one of those moments. Hold on, let's see. There it is. Oh my gosh, this is it. Intimate Discoveries, Unveiling Connections, the podcast redefining the conversation around what it means to be intimate. In a real world where conversations are all this issue, we dive deep, peeling back layers of what it truly means to be intimate. We have real life experts, real conversations, and we help individuals to be able to experience relationships at a far deeper level than you've ever imagined. I am your host, Champ Frank, and we are live and in color. Now it's time. Come on, baby. Come on. Yes! The champ is here. Let's go. I'm here, baby. Yes. Come on. Cause I'm a champion. I'm a champion. Cause I'm a champion. Cause I'm a champion. A champion. Yes, yes, yes. We are here, and I am your host, Champ Franklin, and this is our moment to uncover. And that's it. Thanks everybody for joining in. We got a fire show today. I got an amazing woman who is who's coming on to help us figure out how is it that we often get intimacy wrong. And so, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'm bringing a young lady who can introduce herself. She can come on the stage and she is fire. She is fire. Well, intelligent, classy young lady who's out there and who have experienced relationships and may have a unique perspective that we want to be able to tap into. So without further ado, I'm going to come on in. What's up? Come on, lady. Kay.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, we're excited. Yes. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and my name is Kay Muse, and I'm happy to join the conversation.
All right. Well, amen. So tell us, what have you been up to? What's been going on?
Oh, yeah. So I recently completed my master's degree, my international MBA at the Dollimore School of Business. During my time studying, I traveled all over Europe studying. And I have a corporate job where I do corporate consulting. Now I'm kind of splitting my time between corporate consulting and government contracting. So
Really
busy. And also traveling. And I just got back from the Houston Rodeo and, you know, just having fun and living life a little bit.
Oh, that is awesome, awesome, awesome. So let me ask you this here. Have you seen that that clip that is going around? It's sort of new. It's when Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin, they are talking about relationships and how the Black woman has changed and there's a demand that that men be men and not just be providers, where they are actually giving input, being emotionally available. And have you heard, did that come into your news feed on social media?
So unfortunately, no, but that is something that I feel like I struggle with when it comes to dating.
Mm-hmm.
Men are not really being men. I think it's more than just protecting and providing, it's actually being present in the relationship to better the relationship and to help it grow and mature to a healthy place of long term.
Mm-hmm.
And
So when you say men aren't being men, what barometer are you using that to say that you're not being a man?
Oh, okay. So I'm gonna be extremely honest and open.
Okay.
I might be one of those people that you might not want to invite back on your
No. We want it, Raw. We want it. We want it. Yeah, that's absolutely. This is it. Come on, talk to me.
Fans may be extremely unpopular.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I can only reference my experience in dating, right? I can't reference anyone else's experience. So every conversation will come from my personal experience in dating.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when I say a man is not being a man, when it comes to dating, I feel that men are not necessarily, depending on the demographic, meaning like the physical location of the man, they're not necessarily taking the initiative to ask a woman out.
Mm-hmm.
I was just in Houston for a couple of weeks, and every single place I went, a man saw me and they came up to me to get my contact information, to invite me out on a date, to try to spend time with me outside of the venue that I was at. Dating in Atlanta, the men may be attracted to you. They will literally sit there and look at you from across the bar the whole time, never really make any contact. They might, you know, send a drink, maybe, but they're not taking the initiative to get your information. You can walk past them to give them a sign like, okay, well, I'm available. But they are expecting you to approach them. And I'm kind of built a little different. I feel that men approach women.
Okay. Well, that's Bible now. That is Bible, because the energy of the relationship comes from the man, and because the man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to the woman. And so that energy should, I agree that it should come from the man. at the same time, there are moments that men may feel vulnerable or feel like, maybe, you know, that woman, well, you are nice on the eyes. So you are beautiful. And so you're going to.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Yes, you're going to be able to catch someone's attention. But at the same time, like I said, it's. If I see you and I'm shy, or I don't have the confidence in this particular moment, what is to say that I can come in, that you can't come and say, hey, I saw you looking at me. What's up with that?
I don't think that. That's something that I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I will walk past you and smile.
Right.
And say hello.
Mm-hmm.
That opens the door to,
right,
you to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not that direct and I'm not that forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right. But I understand that. And I get it. And you shouldn't have to do it. Because the thing is that you have to be able, you do what's comfortable for you, right? And I wouldn't
go ahead. I want you to finish what you're saying.
Yeah, I want you to do what's comfortable for you. And if you don't feel comfortable with going and saying something to a man, because in this day and age, you know, you never know who you're gonna run up against, and they may take it a different way. So I get it. So
this is how I feel about it.
Okay, tell me how you feel about it.
If I have to come up to you and be that direct and start the conversation, I feel that I'm always going to have to be that direct to start the conversation as it relates to when you're taking me out on a date. When are we going to go on vacation? When are we going to be solidified as boyfriend and girlfriend? Like all those steps and all those things. And honestly, as a woman who likes to rest in her femininity, I don't want to run our relationship. It should be an equal give and take, right?
Absolutely.
But I feel like sometimes those things should be led by men. Men say they want submissive women or women who are resting in their femininity. But how can we truly be feminine if we are the chasers in the relationship?
That's just one encounter. That's one encounter. And so,
you're right.
That's just one encounter. And so during this encounter, you can establish what I consider the integrity of the relationship, right? And the what keeps the integrity intact is during this conversation, the initial conversation that you like, hey, you know what, I see that you and I have gotten some sort of contact. Is this something about me that's preventing you from saying something to me, bro? Is it something that's preventing you from coming over here to talk to me? And sort of making it fun and having that conversation. And then once I get to know you, then maybe I can, when you say, hey, listen, you know what really attracts me or what I really like is for authentic interest. And if you're interested in me, I'd like for you to actively show that interest. Are you that type of person? And then
So if I have to do all of that with a man who sees me out publicly, because he's out publicly.
Right.
It's not like he's at home or at a book club or studying somewhere. He's out at a bar, right?
Right.
So you're out there because you want to be social.
Right.
You want to interact with people. So if you're not coming up to approach me, that means you're not that into me. You just see something that you think looks good and that was that. You really don't want to have a conversation with me, because if you did want to have a conversation with me after I don't even have to do that. Like, the thing is, as a woman, I don't have to do a starter and say hello or walk by you. If you really wanted to pursue something with me,
right,
you will come towards me. I don't have to make the first move.
Right. You have a really good point. The challenge is, what if you're that beautiful that it is like, as a brother, like, man, I don't know if I can talk to her because I don't know if she goes. But the thing is, but I really like her, and she's beautiful, and because I can say I've been in a bar and I've seen a woman and like, oh my God, it would be nice if I can, you know, to talk to her, but it's like, it really just depends.
I mean, buy a drink, grab the bar, buy a drink, send over a drink, say, you know, it came from you.
Maybe right.
She'll, you know, wave and, you know, let you know that it's okay to approach her.
Right.
You know, but I'm not a woman who's going to advocate for women making the first move, because that's just not something I would do.
Right. No, and you don't have to do that. You really don't. But like I said before, I think that men should be proactive. I think that men should be vulnerable. I think men should be able to speak up and take the initiative when it comes to interacting with a woman. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And
but I was I would say that life is built on rejection. Like, seriously, in your careers, in your life, you will face rejection. It's not the end of the world. When I was living in Paris last year, the dating scene out there was amazing, by the way. You could be walking down the street going, like I was walking down the street going to the metro. People would try to stop you in the middle of the street to get your time and take you out on a date. Like they would ask you if you want to go to the cafe, if you want to go, you know, to the bar. The social life is very nice, but even when you say no, like they will literally, I know it's like, I know it is aggressive behavior because it is. Mm-hmm. It's respectful, aggressive behavior. But even when you're saying no, they're not going to stop trying to, you know, get your attention, get your time. Mm-hmm. Because if a man wants you, he wants you. I mean, you know, we all go after what we want.
You are so, so true. Right. Because, and I believe that people do what they want to do when they want to do it. So how long have you been back in Atlanta?
So actually, I'm in South Carolina.
Oh, okay. What part?
Columbia,
South Carolina. Okay.
Yeah, so I live here now. I just, you know, I travel a lot, so I'm rarely here. I've been back home for a week now, but I'm leaving to go to Atlanta tomorrow.
Oh, nice. You just a world traveler.
Yes.
And so you have a different perspective, different experiences than most women here in, especially in Colombia. Right?
Yes.
Because a lot of them are just right there in Colombia.
And dating in Colombia is not the greatest.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. That's why I had to leave Colombia. Because I'm like, oh my Lord, no, I got to go. Because this is like, oh my Lord. But anyway, so when it comes to intimacy, how do you define intimacy?
Ooh, that's a great question. How do I define intimacy?
Yes.
I define intimacy as connecting with a person at all levels. So that's spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice. That's good stuff because we have a definition that we use. So let me ask you this. So right now, would you consider you and I having an intimate conversation?
This is a casual conversation for me.
It's a casual conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think that casual conversation is really the lowest form of intimacy, right? Or can be the lowest form, right? So let me give you our definition that we work with here at Intimate Discoveries, because intimacy we define it as the level of commitment and positive, affective, cognitive, and physical closeness one experiences with a partner in a reciprocal relationship. And so there are four variations of intimacy, which you touched on them. Cognitive intimacy, which is exchanging thoughts and sharing ideas with another person. Emotional intimacy is exchanging feelings with another person, which is deeply rooted in the value of self-disclosure. Then we have sexual intimacy as being attracted to another person and choosing to share one's body in the form of physical contact, affection, and sexual activities. And then there's spiritual intimacy, which is sharing thoughts and feelings regarding religion and morality. So those are the four variations of intimacy in which what I was asking about the whether or not you and I were having an intimate conversation. Was simply because you and I were just exchanging thoughts on a really low level.
But, you know, this is why I think that people do get intimacy wrong. They have different definitions of what intimacy is for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this conversation is a casual conversation for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, revealing intimate details of any of my relationships to you.
Right.
You know, my feelings, my emotions, my spiritual beliefs behind it, or anything like that. Right. This is just, you know, high level, my view.
So in the first part of the definition, right? We say it's a level of commitment. And it's just the level of commitment and positive, effective, cognitive, and physical closeness one experiences with a partner in a reciprocal relationship, which means that when I'm sharing something with you, you're sharing something with me, right? And you're right, it is surface, right? It's like real surface stuff. We haven't talked about, you know, right now we're still having a positive conversation. We're having positive interaction with each other, right?
Yes. Okay. Very positive conversation.
Right.
I did want to ask this question because this is what's going off in my head.
Okay.
What amount of time do you feel that you reach intimacy with a person?
It really just depends on that experience. And it's a level, just like, you know, because you and I, we can talk and we've had a really good conversation and you walk away like, you know, I really enjoyed my conversation with Kate. And that was really thoughtful and thought provoking. And so I would love to have that conversation with you again, right? So that's the experience that you and I, when we commit to having a conversation, right? And we're just sharing. So again, it could be a conversation. And like I said, we're not talking about sharing emotions and feelings and deep, you know, we're not doing that. We're not going that deep into intimacy. We're just right on the lower level. And that's where I think that we get lost in understanding that it's a commitment to reciprocity. That when you're sharing, I'm sharing, and that's all we're doing is sharing stuff. When you were in Paris, as a matter of fact, I'm going to Paris in May, Memorial Day, you know, Memorial Day weekend, and I'm excited about that. And so, yeah, traveling all over the world, doing great stuff, and being able to know that for you, the mere fact that you lived in Paris gives you a whole different perspective that is different from a lot of other people, right?
Yes, Paris is fun. So offline, I'll tell you some things that you should definitely do if you have time.
Okay.
That's not necessarily just touristy stuff.
Okay. So make sure I see the Eiffel Tower, right?
I mean, that's touristy stuff.
Okay. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Outside of that.
Okay, well, that, I'm down for that. That'll be great. We can definitely do that. So one of the things that as I'm dating and out in the dating scene, one of the challenges that I have was when you're having a conversation with someone and then they, you know, they want men to be honest, right? To be vulnerable, right? And so seeing that when I felt like that when I became honest, while I was being honest, women were throwing red flags, right? Well, that's a red flag. Well, you know, for example, I'm recently divorced. It's over a year now that I've been divorced. But in between that time, you know, I would talk about, you know, what happened, and they were like, well, you sound like you haven't gotten over your wife yet. I'm like, what? Your divorce is fresh. I'm like, you know, she ain't coming back, right? Right. So, and that was a frustration for me seeing. No, it's just that when I'm being honest with you, that when women see, when women hear certain things get triggered, that those red flags, are so egregious from a person's past that they just like, all right, you know, I'm not going to deal with that. How does that play when it comes to red flags on your part?
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I had to take a moment to think back. I think a lot of times when women are identifying red flags and we're listening to the conversations that men are having from an honest perspective, mm-hmm. and this is just with anybody, I don't even just want to put it in the men category or mm-hmm. woman category. A lot of times people don't take accountability for their actions that cause a certain thing to mm-hmm. happen. Mm-hmm. And for me, in all relationships, friendships, family ships, mm-hmm. romantic or otherwise, if a person is not taking accountability for their actions mm-hmm. that cause a certain reaction, then I am kind of out. Because I understand that as a person who does not like to argue or have confrontation a lot mm-hmm. in relationships, I like to just, you know, honestly have fun. We can have disagreements, we can have different point of views, all that kind of stuff. But when a red flag for me is not taking accountability, we're going to always be in an argument. We're going to always be in a disagreement. You're never going to see what you did wrong in a situation or admit to your wrong in a mm-hmm. situation. And it's like, I want to be in a happy, healthy relationship where I can thrive, not fighting all the time or being uncomfortable or mm-hmm. being, mm-hmm. you know, in a situation that I don't really want to be in. So I know for me, when I see that particular red flag, I will be out.
Okay, so are you familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Oh yes, yes.
Okay.
I don't tell me to recite them all.
No. You don't have to recite them all because I have the chart right here. I have the chart right here. Because that's what we use here at Intimate Discoveries. We base our interaction, our levels of intimacy, based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Right. And so as we are navigating through this, we have cognitive intimacy, which is down at the bottom with the physiological needs, food, water, shelter, and warmth, just surface stuff. Right. You know, what do you do? How's everything going? And then there is the safety need. Right. The need to be able to say, hey, I don't feel comfortable with that. Or the ability to be vulnerable with somebody and say, hey, you know what? I felt like I should have been heard, or I feel like I should be able to tell you about what happened with me and my mom, right? And I don't like the fact that we're not together actively, you know, my mom and I don't talk as much. And it just kind of bothers me. And so to have that kind of disclosure, in that vulnerable state, that happens in the cognitive level, right? In the cognitive intimacy. And then as the relationship progresses, as the reciprocity intent, you know, increases, then there's emotional intimacy, which now goes up to the feeling of loving and belonging. And it says intimate relationship, friends and stuff like that happens at the loving and belonging. And then there's the esteem need, where you begin to feel good about the relationship. Man, we've been hanging out. We've gone on dates. You know, we went to a park, and we've even gone to a couple of jazz concerts and stuff like that. And you're feeling good about these interactions, right? And then the self-actualization, the relationship actually begins to, you know, really feel good. And that's when sexual intimacy happens. When allowing the relationship to reach its full potential. right? Mm-hmm. And that includes creative activity. That's at the top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where we have cognitive intimacy, then there's emotional intimacy, and then sexual intimacy right at the top. The problem that I've identified is that that emotional need and that cognitive, that safety need is the one that is grossly neglected. So we don't really have conversations, or we don't put a true emphasis on your ability to tell me you don't feel comfortable with something. Right?
I can definitely agree with that. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we don't really get to all those other levels of intimacy because we skip everything and go to physical intimacy.
Right. And you're absolutely right. And therefore there are somebody's coming up short. there's an empty connection. And most of the time, it's the woman who really comes up short. Because we're not taught as men to have any feelings. And so we don't really know what it truly means to be close with someone, and at that level, right? Mm-hmm. And because we're not seeking that. We're looking, you know, just to have sex. We just want to have sex with you. We don't need to be all that emotional. We don't do that. And as a result, our relationship, we don't really begin to experience true, meaningful relationships.
You know, some women are like that too. But as a woman, I don't understand how some women can be attached to someone in such a vulnerable position and not want an emotional connection at the same time.
Right.
I don't think we're wired like that, but hey.
But again, like we were talking about, as far as skipping that step, that's the whole, and I know, like I say, you're familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That whole chasm is like the Grand Canyon. You got to jump all the way over that part in order to see to experience any type of sexual intimacy. And so you're not really truly engaging in cognitive intimacy, just being able just to share thoughts. And so if you can't tell them, you know, how you feel about something or allow your truth to be there, when you get all the way up to sexual intimacy, you're not talking in the bedroom. Right?
Right.
It's just you going for yourself. You going for what you know. Right?
Right.
So, but yeah, so that's where we see those challenges and then like say we were talking about the red flags. My part is that was my past. And so that doesn't really, that shouldn't dictate how I'm going to be with you.
Can I offer a suggestion?
Go ahead. Offer a suggestion.
When they're telling you to be honest, mm-hmm. definitely be honest. But as you're sharing your story, maybe put yourself in the best light in the situation, mm-hmm. and make sure that you're being fair to yourself and your ex, mm-hmm. but don't spend a lot of time talking about it either. Or you can just say, you know, it just didn't work out. We had too many differences. And right. These were the high level differences. I really don't want to get deep into it.
Right, right,
because,
right.
Because, you know, I'm focused on my present and my future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
that's what I tell men who want to know about, you know, my past situations. I don't really go into great details because it's irrelevant. He's not here right now.
Right.
You know,
yeah. With
you.
Right. 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 And that is a really polite way to tell the person to mind your own business. You know, because what happened in the past is never going to happen again. there's nothing you and I can do about it. So why are you asking me about, why are you concerned about a situation that will never reproduce itself?
Right. I mean, you know, some people can be extremely invasive. They want to know, like, you know, what the sex was like. What did she like? I'm like, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's not here.
Right.
He's not joining us.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Let's not talk about that. You know, you will discover over time what I like and what I don't like.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know? And you're absolutely right. And that, where it comes to being able to, again, because so for me, my thing is that because we're in we're having an intimate conversation, reciprocity is mandatory, right? So whatever you ask me, you should be prepared to tell me exactly what to answer your same question about your life. Now, if you know, I want to know how many girlfriends you've been. Well, I want to know how many boyfriends you've been with. You know, because that's reciprocity, and you need to be able to bring us that same fervor or that same information that you're requesting about me. And sometimes it helps. Sometimes it doesn't help. And so even when it, like I say, for me, I just don't think that it's fair going on a date and then a person decides that they're going to throw red flags. That used to piss me off. I'm like, why are you throwing red flags? You asked me about, and
well,
I
just, because somebody asks you don't necessarily mean you got to share it in the moment. You know, it's really all about, what you share, how you're sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's going to be appropriate to share at that time, like if I'm going out on a dinner date with somebody, I don't want to spend my whole conversation or any portion of my conversation actually talking about my ex. I really don't.
Right.
I really don't. So I would, you know, table that discussion for a later time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, a phone conversation, you know, or when we're hanging out watching TV or something, but not when I've spent time to get myself ready and, you know, talking. No, I don't want to do that.
So this particular episode is dating in the beginning. Things we should do to date in the beginning, right? So do you have, give our listeners like three things like that you would suggest, like doing on a first date with somebody?
Dating in the beginning, to say or do? What category you want me to give?
I want to talk about just how do you have a fun first date?
Okay. So I am an arcade girl. I love arcades. I love games.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times my first date, I would suggest going to an arcade, like a Dave & Buster's or like whatever local arcade that you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
Because it puts you in the mode of, you know, this is not just a serious conversation sitting next across from each other, interviewing each other.
Mm-hmm.
It puts you in a playful mood,
mm-hmm.
and you let your guard down. It's more casual, you know, mm-hmm. it's a more casual situation. I'm just going back to my dating when I was in middle school, high school.
Mm-hmm.
I used to frequent the Chuck E. Cheese because that's mm-hmm. what we were doing. We were always going to Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
So, and it allowed you to see, you know, the friendly competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking a little smack. So an arcade or something interactive.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just go on a dinner date because, I mean, if you wanted to talk to somebody, you guys could have spent the month talking on the phone.
Right.
That's just a different conversation. So mm-hmm. that's one. Two, don't bring up situations of the past with your ex. Don't do that. Like, let that be reserved for the future.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you're single. We know. You're on a date right now with another single person. Like, you know, and just think about enjoying the moment with that person. Think of, and so that's the thing. That's one. Don't bring up your ex. Two, don't bring up your ex. Three, highlight all the things that you like and enjoy doing. So I like traveling. I like going to museums. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, going to concerts. Talk about the things that you like, mm-hmm. because that's going to put you in the best light, and you're going to be viewed and seen as the best person, you know, if they share a similar interest. Mm-hmm. So only talk about the positive things. Mm-hmm. You know, we can get into the not so positive things, or, you know, the challenges. I wouldn't say, right. I wouldn't even say bad things. They're challenges, or challenges that you had. Let's talk about that later. And I think those things should be reserved for later when we're talking about a discussion of exclusivity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because now I really need to know who I'm really dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's good stuff. You get my heart swelled. Because those sound like fun things, and it does, because you're like, hey, let's go in. But the only thing is that you have to. I'm sort of looking at the thing of, you know, going to Chuck E. Cheese for our first date, and seeing how that would be a red flag.
Really? So, I mean, that's like when I was 12, 13, 14. Like, they have Dave and Buster's now.
Right. And you're right. Dave and Buster's, the thing is that you can go to Chuck E. Cheese, right? Mm-hmm. You can go and be vulnerable. And that's the part where I think that we lose in having intimate connections is that place of vulnerability, and saying like, hey, you know, I'm gonna go to Chuck E. Cheese allows, you know, for me to be able to say we're going to Chuck E. Cheese, this is gonna be cool, and just see how it's gonna go.
Yeah, so I get how you think that might be a red flag, because a grown woman, I mean, I'm 31, mm-hmm. and I'm telling you that I like to go to Chuck E. Cheese, and I'm a corporate professional, six-figure earner, doing the thing.
Mm-hmm. Right? Doing the thing, yes.
Maybe that's not the archetype, mm-hmm. of somebody who likes to go to Chuck E. Cheese, but I was just there, like, last week, actually, mm-hmm. for my nephew's birthday, having a blast.
Right.
You know, but that's me. You know, you have to get to know your partner and what they like. But I don't necessarily advocate for going to the most expensive steakhouse.
Mm-hmm. Because right.
it's like, well, first of all, if you can't take yourself as a woman, mm-hmm. you can't take yourself to the steakhouse and buy your own dinner. You know, in a way, like, why are you really expecting the man to take you there? Like, are you hungry?
Right.
You know, you're trying to get to know a person, and I think it's better to get to know people in an interactive setting. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying, Franklin, go up to a woman and suggest let's go to Chuck E. Cheese on that first date.
Right.
No, get to know what she likes. So she likes to go to the mm-hmm. the art gallery, but they can take her there.
Right. So let me tell you one of the things that I did. On the first date, right, was I met this woman at this tea shop, right? And I told her, I'm like, well, last time you had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? So she's like, peanut butter and jelly? Yes. I'm like, why don't you bring some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to the date? And then we'll have a good time. And you want to talk about, she came and it was like in a little lunch pail, and it was cool. And, you know, went and got her, we went and got tea, pick out the kind of tea you want. And we had tea, we sat there and talked, and it was really cool. And she ended up giving me a kiss Before she left, I mean, because it was just it was yeah. a cool experience. And that was cool. And it took us out of our comfort zones. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool. I thought it was fun. Like I said, for me, it's about doing something different and getting to know a person out of their, you know, like I say, out of having them come out of their shell. Because if you don't want to do something as simple as let's just go have some tea. Let's be kids right now. Let's just have a good time and see how it goes,
yeah,
right?
I like that because it's a no pressure type first date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't even really know, you know, when a man's taking me out on the first date, I don't even really know if I like him.
Right.
To be honest. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't even know if he really likes me. He might find me attractive and he just might want to sleep with me, you know, mm-hmm. and that's that. And I will discover what his intentions are when I have a first date and I can be with it or I can be without it.
Right. So. Right. So, the one of the things I try to highlight is the importance of allowing someone to be vulnerable and making sure that in the interaction, in the conversation, that there is a safe space where I guess this is not the first date type of thing. I'm talking about moving forward as you're having conversations with an individual that they have a safe space where they can come and talk, where I can come and share with you. And how do you approach helping a man to see you as a safe space?
That's a great question. How do I approach allowing a man to see me as a safe space? When he shares something with me that I feel, you know, is important, first of all, I'm paying attention to what he shared.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening. And then after he shares whatever he shares, I appreciate him for sharing it. I mm-hmm. let him know, thank you so much for sharing this part of yourself with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just affirming him and acknowledging and affirming what he said. And I'm not judging him mm-hmm. by what he shared.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have brothers, I have a father, I have uncles.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I may share an experience that's similar, so I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Or offer if it's needed. Sometimes it's not needed. I just listen,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
right.
I thank them for sharing, you know.
And so, but hold on. What's that for the most part?
Because sometimes men want my opinion on the situation,
mm-hmm.
and I don't always offer my opinion because I feel that my opinion is not needed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, well, you did what you felt was the best thing for you to do in that situation.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes I will explain, you know, as a woman, I can see how, you know, this woman felt that way, but also here's another perspective. I can offer that.
Mm-hmm.
But to be quite honest, for a man who I'm just getting to know,
mm-hmm.
we're not necessarily in a relationship with each other.
Right.
I'm really not problem solving with him.
Right.
Because this is not my man. Like, right. We don't have that level of investment in each other, you know,
right.
to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're reaching intimacy, but for me, to be honest, it takes a while for me to be intimate with a man, mm-hmm. you
right.
know, to open myself up to that degree. So we're not doing that in the first couple of dates.
Right. And again, remember we talked about intimacy being a level of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And what the level of commitment is, we're just talking about just we're just sharing thoughts.
So yeah, the vulnerability, thank you for being vulnerable. Like that's, I don't know what else to say. Thank you so much for sharing.
Right. But being vulnerable could just be going to Chuck E. Cheese with you.
And that's what I was going to point out too. I was going to point that out too. Me letting you know that I enjoy arcades, that's very nostalgic for me.
Mm-hmm.
That is me sharing my vulnerability.
Right.
Not many people really know that about me. Even my friends, like they just think, well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, my friends know. They don't. But
right.
I guess they don't know to the degree of how much I actually enjoy going mm-hmm. to arcades. But my family,
mm-hmm.
my brother, my sisters, they know I love arcades.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we always, like when I spend time with my family, we always go to arcade. We always go to Chuck E. Cheese, actually.
So what's your favorite arcade? What's your favorite game to play at the arcades?
So I don't even know what it's called. But it's like the one that you have like the little ball and you, it's almost like bowling and you try to put them in the different areas of the circle.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that's called.
Oh, so,
like the,
oh, I know. Yeah. So it's like bowling, but you're rolling the ball to get those points and you can get
those points.
Oh yeah. I like that game too. That is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And table tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And the little what is it called? The ice hockey?
Yes, the air hockey.
Air hockey.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's fun.
You gotta play Pac-Man.
Oh, you definitely gotta play Pac-Man. One game of pinball, right?
Yes.
And
play pinball and a race car. And a race car.
Mm-hmm. And a race car.
Race car game. Oh. You know the one that you sit down and you try to drive? It's a race.
Yes. Pole position. Yeah, I think that was one of them. Yeah, those are good ones. But you get, like I say, you talking about going to Chuck E. Cheese and playing all them video games. You got to come with some money. That's an expensive date.
Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese has gotten expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We spent like $100 at Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. But you know,
but it's fun. But you
it's
know.
Fun.
It's fun and that gives you in a different light and because the relationship life is too short for us to be trying to be like you say problem solvers all the time and some of those things don't ever work themselves out anyway.
Right.
You know, because people still holding on to grudges and all this other stuff and you and I we haven't spent 2 hours trying to figure out how we're gonna approach this person and they just mean anyway.
Yeah.
So
going back to what you were saying, like when a man opens up and be vulnerable with me, if it's like certain things in conversation that he's seeking, you know.
Right.
If it's too deep for me, I'm not the therapist.
Right.
I'll ask him, you know, how did you feel? Did you heal from it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you talked to anyone about it?
Right.
I don't do that to make him feel safe. Mm-hmm. I don't judge him.
Right, right,
or,
right.
Discontinue communication with them.
Right. And so
problem solving.
Mm-hmm, right. But you don't have to say that I'm not problem solving. It's more so like, well, is there anything I can do to help you to get to your best space where you can make better decisions? Right? Is there anything I can help you to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
That's me offering a solution or volunteering myself.
Like you say, thanks for sharing.
Offer a solution. We are not that, like, I'm not, it depends on my level of investment.
Right.
Man,
mm-hmm.
You know, like,
right.
Who we are.
And it depends on what it is, too, right?
Right.
No, we're not talking about that. I'm good, bro. Let's go because you just overshared. And.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I overshared. And so I get it. But you live and you learn. And you try to make a better impression for the next person that you get to you get to meet or you go out on a date with, because like I say, I learn. I'm like, you know what? I'm not saying all that stuff. You know what? I'm not, you know, after I say, you ask, well, how long you been married or how long was this? That's what happened. And I'm not going to spend so much time talking about that stuff because it's irrelevant.
You went to business, you have business, you work in business. It's keep it at an elevator pitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right. So what's next for you, Kay? You're going to Atlanta, and any travel in the near future?
So my birthday is April 2nd, coming up.
Oh my gosh!
Right.
And hold on, Kay. Hold on. Let me make sure that I put that in. Let me see here. Okay. Where do I have Kay? Let me see here. Information edit. Birthday is April 2nd.
Yes.
And you say you're 31 years old. Oh my gosh.
So I will be 32 in a couple weeks.
Wow. So you were born in 93?
92.
Oh my gosh. You know where I was in 1992?
I do not.
I was in Norfolk, Virginia on my way to my first assignment in Japan. Oh my gosh, just a little baby.
Yes, I appreciate my youth.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, keep doing great stuff. It sounds like you're on your way. We appreciate you for coming on the show, sharing. Anything that you want to just pass on, last words, we want to.
No, I was just going to finish sharing. I'm going to Costa Rica for my birthday.
All right. That's what's up.
Hit some beaches, hit the pool, relax a little bit.
Ow.
What else do I want to say? Have fun dating, you guys. It's really not. I know it's a piece of life that you want to have. Like, you want to have a partner. Be yourself authentically.
Mm-hmm.
Be truthful with yourself authentically. Don't make things work that just don't work.
Mm. You know,
there is someone out there who will find you, the authentic you, to be perfect for them. So don't try to be perfect for anybody. That's all I really have to say.
That's good stuff. Well, we thank you so much, Kay, for coming on the show. As always, this is Champ Franklin, and we are here. You definitely got to come back on the show again, and I'll tell you, we're going to close it out. Huh?
I said, thank you so much.
Yes.
For the invitation.
Absolutely. So I'm going to close out right here. This is when we start. Yes. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Was Kate News. Thank you so much for coming on. All right. Well, take care. All righty. All right. Thank you. Okay. All right. Yes, you heard it here. Kent Franklin, Intimate Discoveries, where we really provide that space for listening, for vulnerability, for making sure that you have a pathway to meaningful relationships. It can be hard, it can be challenging, but listen, let's go!
They said I wouldn't make it, but I'm here.
We're here, baby!
And I'm here to stay, never go down.
Cause I'm a champion! And that's what we want you, baby, to do. We want you to champion your life.
Cause I'm a champion.
We want you to champion your relationship.
Cause I'm a champion. A champion.
Yes. Remember, here now. Remember, the sky's the limit. Don't stop on the moon. Make progress. Don't, regardless of how small the progress appears to be, remember to make it. Make the progress. Make that moment. And really be there They said I wouldn't make it, but I'm here now. I'm here. And I'm here to stay, never go down. Hey, while you're out in your next moment, give somebody a hug. You never know where they are and how that hug can really touch your life. Yep, it's championship living, baby. And so remember, give them a hug, love on them, because you don't know what people are going through. And I thank all my listeners. I want to thank my number one fan. Oh my gosh, it's always happy to see you on the show. I don't know if she want me to call her name out, but I like to see your face on here. And thank you for showing up again. You are amazing. Yeah. Talk to you soon. Champ out.
Ow!